What's up, everyone? This is Dean Thomas on today's MMA on SiriusXM podcast. Myself and Anthony Smith talk to UFC heavyweight contender Curtis Blaydes about the John Jones return rumors and his place in the heavyweight title picture. Plus, Anthony and I talk about MMA media and how Anthony's name is constantly linked to hot takes in the headlines. And as promised, I brought him on. Well, Kelly did. So we got to give props to Kelly. Give her a round of applause. Clap, clap, clap to Kelly. She found the man, the myth, Curtis Razor Blaydes. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just hanging out before my next workout.
Before you now. So I heard the music coming on and you started getting all excited, man. What's the deal with the music?
I just like that beat. That it makes me want to move around. It just makes you want to hit stuff.
Makes you want to hit stuff.
Yeah, it's a good song for me.
So you said you're getting ready for your next workout. Yeah. Are you preparing for anything, or are you just working out as part of your daily routine?
I mean, both. Obviously, I know everyone's heard about the whole me being the backup for Ngannou Jones, and that's how I'm gonna treat the next, like, after the holiday, after I get back, because I'm leaving later on this evening, head back home for Thanksgiving. When I get back this weekend, I'm gonna act like I'm in camp getting ready for John Jones. So we'll see. I don't know. I guess it's all depends on what goes on with Francis, whether or not he takes the deal they're offering him or what. I don't really know, but I'll be ready.
Curtis, is it getting frustrating? You've been at the top of the heavyweight division for a long time, and now there's John Jones comes up from the lower weight class and kind of throws a wrench in it a little bit and just creates a bunch of parity. And is it frustrating, at least kind of like not knowing who fits in where and where each person's going to go and who's fighting who?
Yeah, that is. It's frustrating, and it's always been frustrating, but this is how it's been almost my entire UFC career. It's been a lot of like stagnation and uncertainty. At one point, we thought Brock Lesnar was going to hop back in. That would have been a whole other thing. So I'm almost like desensitized. Like, I'm used to it. It's what happened with heavyweight. Heavyweights, it's a weird division. Like, you don't have to have a lot of wins. You don't have to have a lot. You just got to have a name. A name is what they want as a heavyweight main event. So I get why they're offering John Jones this title. I get it. He puts asses in the seats. I just wish they could, like, get a guarantee, like, yes, he's going to be doing this. That way I can, like, I like to project. I like to visualize. That's hard to do. I don't know who I'm fighting next. I thought I was going to get gone. That's what I was thinking after the whole debacle and with Aspinall. But even though he got injured, I won. He gone beat Tuivasa. I thought that made the most sense. But then he breaks his hand, and then he comes out. He doesn't want to fight me. I'm not worth it. And now I'm hearing about this John Jones opportunity. It's a lot of chaos, but I'm used to it.
Yeah, I was working the desk in Paris when Cyril beat Tuivasa, and I asked him, I believe I asked him specifically about you, like, you know, where does this put you in the division? You know, you have Curtis Blaydes, and he was not shy to make it clear he didn't want to fight you. So which is cool that he was honest about it, but that also puts you in a weird ass spot. Like, well, how are you supposed to move forward without getting those opportunities?
I know how you got to talk shit, but I don't hate nobody. I don't hate Cyril Gane. I don't think he's a pussy. I don't think he's none of that. I get it. It's business. I don't have a name, but how am I supposed to get a name if I don't get to beat other guys with names in order to get my own name? I don't know how I'm supposed to do it, but that seems to be the only way to get what you want, is to go online and just talk smack. And I'm not good at it, so I'm not even going to pretend to do it.
Well, you know, I think that I think you just got to keep beating people. You know what I mean? Yeah. But again, I totally understand the frustration. What do you, I guess if we're just, if it's not going to be, it's obviously not going to be Ciryl Gane for sure. No. Cause he doesn't want that at all. And I, honestly, I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't see that happening. So
no, I get that also. I've already lost twice. Hard to mark.
Not even you. I mean, I don't see Francis and John fighting. I just don't. I think there's a lot of red tape. So when you look at a guy like John Jones, are you like licking your chops and you can't wait to get to him, or do you see a lot of problems that he presents for your style?
I mean, he is one of the top five MMA fighters of all time for a reason. Like, he's going to present problems. That's not going to be an easy fight. I don't think I'm going to go out there and just smash him in the first round. I respect him. He's legit as fuck. But I do understand I will be heavier. I've been a heavyweight my whole life. I understand how to be economic with my energy. I do believe I'm the better grappler. I do believe that. And I've seen that even though John has the reach advantage, a lot of times he doesn't know how to use it unless he's doing eye pokes. Like, he gets hit with a lot of like uppercuts. And I'm not really an uppercut person, but I'll add it into my game. Like, if I think that's a effective way to land. I think we both present problems, and I think it's a great matchup. And I think if I get that fight, it'll do well pay-per-view wise, because it's John Jones. John Jones plus anyone is going to do well, but John Jones plus Ngannou, we get it. It's a mega fight.
Yeah, but before I pass it off to Dean, got one more. You know, I said that I thought that. I've been saying I think that John Jones kind of shuts Francis out and gets out of it, wins 5 rounds to nothing, and probably doesn't have a mark on his face just because of his ability to move and his distance management. But I also said I think that Ciryl Gane is a really tough fight for John Jones, and I think you're a very, very tough fight for John Jones. That's why we love this sport, right? Like, regardless of your history with Francis, I think that you present a lot of problems for John Jones that he's going to have to deal with, and that's a really tough fight. And I think that John probably has an easier time with Francis. That's why it's weird. Do you agree with that as far as how you look at how those matchups go?
Yeah, I think guys that give John issues are guys that move. You gotta be gotta move, and you gotta you can't let him establish his range, which I wouldn't do. I'm gonna be walking him down constantly, high lowing, constantly getting off. So I'm not gonna allow him. When you start to stand there and just like play that head moving game,
like I did.
It happened. No, he's
it's, really it's tough.
Put it like. He's like Derek Lewis. Like, you know what you're not supposed to do, but he still drags you into it. Like, I knew I wasn't supposed to take that terrible shot attempt. Did it anyway. So I get it. But that's what you can do with John. You cannot allow him to establish his range. And I'm going to move. And I think, like you said, Ciryl Gane moves very well. And Ngannou, out of the three of us, he probably moves the least. But that's also because he has the most power, so he doesn't have to move the most. So, like you said, styles make matchups.
So, Curtis, you've already answered a bunch of my questions, and I respect your honesty. I love your honesty towards how you feel, your perspective on how you feel about yourself and your status in this game. But the one, and you say, you know, how are you supposed to get fans? Because you're not going to talk trash. Now, here's the one thing that I will say is that fans will always side with violence, right? So
in order
to get that violence, you're going to have to beat people. Are you willing to fight backwards just to put yourself out there in order to display your violence more?
I mean, that's what I've been doing. Like, Jorginho, Chris Dawkins, hell, even Aspinall was ranked below me. Like, I've been doing that. Like, I've been a company dude. I've been taking whoever they offer me. I've been top five since 2018, and I just feel like I deserve a guy ranked above me. But I guess if I have to, hey, they're going to pay me $400,000 to beat a guy ranked below me, I'll do it. I need the money. I'm trying to be a homeowner, so I'll do it.
Because hey, to me, could, like, could, it seems to be the only way.
You could just keep replaying that Overeem knockout or that stoppage over and over. I'd post that on my Instagram every day if I was you.
I would. See, that's what everyone tells me, but we're like homies now.
Yeah, I know you're friends now. That's tough.
Yeah. I'm actually going out to I wanted to go out to Amsterdam for New Year's Eve, but now I guess I'm in camp mode. So.
Yeah, probably should stick around the gym.
So what would you do if you were out in Amsterdam for New Year's Eve?
Oh, obviously I'd be smoking. just smoking and exploring. I like to, when I go other places, like exotic places, I like to just explore and go for walks. I don't like having a guide because I can look up information on my phone. I don't need a guy in my ear the whole time. I just like to go on like adventures.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you take a video camera and video yourself smoking out in Amsterdam with Overeem and his boys, that'll get you some fans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. That's what I got to do more, like, just the things I do. And, like, hopefully I can find enough people that also like the stuff I like and build my fan base. That's what I'm trying to do. It's been slow, but I'm up to 209,000 on Instagram now. So, and that's all me. Yeah. I don't have nobody running my Instagram or nothing. That's all me.
That's not bad, man. Honestly, that is not bad. That's something to be proud of. 209,000. That's four times I got. You know what I'm saying? It's killing the game. So what does Curtis Blades do during Thanksgiving? How's your Thanksgiving going to be?
Going out to St. Louis. Going to hang out with my brother and my cousins. My brother's a police officer, so he won't be able to smoke with us, but the rest of us, that's what we'll probably be doing, watching the games, watching football games, and smoking in the basement.
All right, I got one last question. What does Anthony Smith got to do to get some wrestling privates from Curtis Blades?
Oh, man, just, you know where we work out at, high altitude. Are you still out here in Colorado?
Well, I live in Nebraska, but I do my camps out there. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, next time you're out here, we're over in Aurora, high altitude. You're good. You just walk in and we just grapple. You're a good grappler, bro. You're a hell of a grappler. It's just the way I wrestle is very unique to my body type. I've always said I wouldn't teach how I wrestle to anyone else. I know I break a lot of rules. I just get away with it. Yeah, we can work on some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Curtis, who's your favorite training partner out there that you got with right now?
Zach Ponga. He was in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Yeah.
I felt really bad for him because I felt like he was the better fighter against Usman. And it just didn't work out for him.
We both sparred with Muhammad for months, like a year ago. He was out here off and on for months. I'm going to be no shade to Mo. I'm better than Mo. On the feet, so is Zach. He caught him because Zach was overconfident. He kept on that jab and letting it hang out on his knee during the head movement game. And it's heavyweight. All you need is one haymaker, one slot. It was a sloppy hook, and it landed, and he went out, and it is what it is. One thing I didn't like about that, though, is after the knockout, he gave him an extra one. I thought that was a little unnecessary, especially because we got prior history. We worked out together. I didn't expect that out of him. But, yeah, that's my favorite.
But, you know, like, the excitement gets to you sometimes. Yeah. And, like, you know, it kind of gets to you.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I mean, I got nothing against Poe. But, yeah, I felt going into that fight, Zach was the better overall fighter, and he got caught. And that was a good thing for him to happen to him, how he understands and respects the heavyweight division. With these little gloves on, we can't get away with the mistakes that smaller weight classes get away with.
Indeed.
That's the game, though, right? Like, the better fighter doesn't always win. And again, I don't want to just bring it up again, but, like, I've always believed that you're a better fighter than Derek Lewis. You're a better fighter. You're a better fighter than Francis Ngannou. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like that's the shit part of this game is the better guy doesn't always win.
But I know I put the work in. Like my hands have grown. And a lot of people that just now starting to see it, but my hands have been I've had confidence in my hands since the Junior Dos Santos fight.
I was just gonna say I thought that was where you turned the corner was in that JDS fight.
Because he
was that an uppercut, like a shovel uppercut? Is that what you hit him with?
No, it was overhand. It was off
overhand. The high low, though. Yeah.
And that was he made me have to strike. Everyone else, if I'm able to take you down, I will. But he was the first guy to like make me strike, and I was like, okay, we'll strike. And
that didn't work out for him.
Yeah. Well, Curtis, man, this was great, man, and. Listen, I don't care what anybody says, and I think you don't give yourself enough credit. Anytime you want to come on my show and talk, I'm going to give you a platform because I want to see you do well and I want to see you succeed. So anytime you want to get some information out there, you just call the show, man, and we'll get you out there. I think you're great, man. So best of luck to you in training. Have good holidays, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys giving me the platform, and happy holidays to you guys, too.
Anytime, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers, Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
Anthony, if I ain't got problems, you got problems. You the one got beef with all the media. What is going on?
I don't know if I have beef with all the media. I just, for whatever reason, everything I say is super important. I don't know why all of a sudden that's the case. But just during the break, I just, look at this. Goddamn every .com in the world. What's this say? Anthony Smith. Explains why Connor and they tagged me on Twitter and Connor. So they're trying to start some shit. Explains why Connor pulling out of the USADA testing pool bothers the fuck out of him. Yes, it does. Why is that fucking weird? Why is that weird? Like he pulled, why else would you, Dean, answer me this. Just a quick answer. Why would you pull yourself out of the testing pool if you're not retiring from fighting?
I mean, there's only one reason.
Exactly. Because you want to do some illegal shit.
Yeah, there's only one reason. There's only one reason. You up to no good.
You're up to no good. So you pull yourself out of the pool. You get up to no good. You take your 6 months of clean tests, and then you come back. Is it all above board? And technically, is he doing anything wrong? No, I didn't say he was. I just said it bothers the shit out of me. And you know, at the end of the day, I said what I fucking said. Like. I don't know why they keep pulling just my part of the conversation because I'm having a conversation with somebody else while that's happening. And that never gets brought, which is fine because I don't want my man Bisping getting lit up either. But here's what I, okay. I'm just going to fucking go. I'm just going.
Here it goes. Add these headlines. Great. Put this out, Kelly.
I have been doing this sport since 2006. Most of the fucking fans in this game right now were in like goddamn elementary school. I've been in over 50 professional fights. I had 25 amateur fights. I've trained, fought, hung out with, been in there with, like gotten techniques from some of the best guys to ever walk the goddamn planet. I think my fucking opinion matters. So if you don't like it, maybe you like for these goddamn idiot media people and these stupid ass fans that like argue with me. Like, what the fuck do you know about fighting? You don't know shit about shit. Like John Jones, his individual skill set is not elite. It's not. And if you say that they are, you either A, don't know what the fuck you're talking about, or B, don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, he's not an elite boxer. He's not an elite wrestler. He's not an elite jujitsu guy. He is elite when you put all the skills together. So if you only put the first part of what I say in the headlines, no one else is going to read these like fucking fans and Twitter people that can't read anyways. don't read the entire goddamn article. And then, like, if you listen to what I said from beginning to end, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. He's a great mixed martial arts. He puts it together better than anybody has ever done it. So I was actually bigging John up, which I don't like to do anyways. Like, I was actually giving him props for his abilities to put his entire game together and be the best guy that's ever lived in our sport. So not only am I getting shit on, I'm getting shit on for something I didn't like, for a point that I didn't actually make. And then this Connor thing, like, if you're an MMA fan and you're cool with Connor getting out of the testing pool so he can go do performance enhancing drugs and then come back, fuck you. I don't want you as a fan. Like you're the fucking problem. Like, guys like me who have been fucking clean their whole career and have struggled and fought and scratched our way to everything that we have, don't have the ability to go be $100 million goddamn superstar and go do a bunch of performance enhancing drugs and come back and still be a fucking superstar. Like fuck you and fuck Connor. That's how I feel about it. Like, I said what I said, and if they don't like it, fuck them. Like, I'm so sick of the bullshit.
But this isn't really new, because I've been noticing, like, in the last, and this is like even before we were doing the show, I've been noticing, like, in the last couple of months, it's just been more and more. Like, I would open up a browser and then something from some site would pop up and it would be like, Anthony Smith says, and I'm just like, yo, what? So part of me at first was kind of jealous. I was like, yo, why does, and then now I'm just like, man, that is annoying. That's gotta be annoying as shit. Like, every time you say something, these media people just pick it up and then run with it and try to make you sound like a bad guy for saying something. They're like, just having a, it, some of them are not even like that crazy outlandish of a take.
Yeah.
It's just like running with it.
If you posted the whole thing, it wouldn't be a hot take.
Right.
It's only a hot take if I keep calling, oh, I got mediated again. Like, that's what I keep saying. I got mediated again. Like, it sounds like a hot take, but like, this generation of content consumers, they don't give a shit about what's in the article. It's just the headline.
Yeah. Like, a couple of weeks ago, you had one that was about the Jake Paul thing and about banning him and all that. And like, everybody was like, oh my God, I was like, he's right. What's wrong with that?
Right. Listen to the whole conversation and it would make more sense.
Yeah. And well, I mean, even the fact that, because you said something about, you know, he's beating up these guys that are like dear to our hearts and, you know, and, but he's, you know, claiming to be like some rebel for the UFC, but like, he's beating up all our guys. It's like, what the hell are you doing? We need to boycott this guy. I'm like, man, that's exactly what we should be doing.
Right. Well, and the point is, everyone always had, their point is always, well, Jake Paul's bringing all this money into the sport and he's paying these fighters lots of money. He's paying guys that are already rich.
Yeah. Right.
Like, Ben Askren's got crazy money.
Ben has money.
Anderson Silva is rich as fuck. And Tyron Woodley should be. If he's not, that's his fault. But he made plenty of money.
Tyron's doing his thing.
He's doing okay. So he's not paying people that are broke. He's right. Bringing money to people that already got it. So, like, why don't you go to, like, the prelims and grab one of them prelim guys from the UFC and drag one of them motherfuckers up? You won't, because they'll beat the shit out of you. Because they're young.
and that's exactly why I have a problem with them, too.
MMA on SiriusXM is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Plus, catch Unlocking the Cage weekdays from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern and MMA Today Tuesday to Thursday from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156 and on the SXM app.
SiriusXM Podcasts.